Ms. Sturm and Mr. McFadden. So the next two cases are telephone cases, telephone hearings, I should say. First is Urbina Dorr versus Holder. Mr. Gutierrez, is he? So we'll wait, Mr. Gutierrez, until
yes, Judge.
The U.S. attorneys. So, Miss Anton?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Could you make it louder? Okay, so we're ready for the Urbina Dorr argument, and we'll hear first from Mr. Gutierrez.
May it please the Court, Gerardo Gutierrez, on behalf of the Urbina Dorr family. Counsel, can you hear me?
Yes.
Judge, this is a case where I believe that the BIA and the immigration judge mischaracterized the definition of social group, membership in a social group, and the characteristic which is both fundamental and immutable. Immutable in that this family suffered the same type of harm as various neighbors similarly situated, and fundamental in that they were people of substantial learning and substantial wealth who had been targeted by an aggressive agrarian land grab group of assailants. Now, the case really turns on whether the type of harm that was suffered is the type of harm that needs to be protected as a refugee status. So the law begins with Acosta, and in matter of Acosta, it basically asks the question, is the type of harm that these people suffered make them immutably different or singles them out in a society whereby other people who are similarly situated.
I'm puzzled by your emphasis on this question, since the Board of Immigration Appeals assumed that the answer is favorable to your client. This just isn't at issue here.
Well, Judge, you know, it was favorable to
me.
The board said that, but it also.
So let's get to the issue on which the board decided the case.
Yes, Judge. The board decided the case that says that basically we failed to demonstrate how the Honduran police or the Honduran government was unable to recapture their land, how the Honduran government failed to act. They found that the Honduran government wasn't complicit, that they came in and they did their job, and they figured that this was the proper solution, this was the proper result. We're claiming that this is not what happened. We're claiming that the board misread that.
You know, it doesn't matter what you claim happened. The question is whether substantial evidence supports the agency's decision. So why do you say that the agency's decision is not supported by substantial evidence?
Because, Judge, the evidence that was presented didn't line up with what the board and the immigration judge had determined. And that is that they were not able to dislodge these people, that they came, they basically washed their hands and left the scene.
The record seems to show that essentially the entire police force of Honduras showed up.
Well, they were paid for, Judge, and that was also in the record, that these people had to pay for private security. In essence, the police and the soldiers were acting as private security, and it sort of imposes a cost.
It's a little peculiar. You agree that the record shows that they got a court order, and the court order authorized them to do this, and they did. You know, all these things seem to be well documented in the record, which is the source of my puzzlement about how substantial evidence could be lacking to show that something that appears to be essentially uncontested happened.
Well, it is true that they did get a court order, Judge. I mean, that's essentially the rub of this case, is how viable was that court order, and you know, as you claim, the entire Honduran police force.
Exaggerating a little, I'm sure there are more police, because there was no documentation of a breakout of bank robberies while the police were evicting the squatters from the timberland.
That's correct, Judge. But the question is that the end of the discussion? Are we to say that because the police made a glossy showing?
It's not what we are to say. Your whole presentation reads as if a de novo decision were going to be made here. The question is whether substantial evidence supports the agency's decision, not what we are going to say on our own.
In fact, Judge, the agency's decision was supported in part by the showing that there was a court order. But the agency's decision sort of didn't weigh the effects of that court order.
Now, these people that Judge Easterbrook called the squatters, are they political or are they just thieves?
Well, I believe that they are political thieves.
What does that mean?
That means that that part
Let
of the
be
agrarian
reform.
First of all,
right, it's thievery under the name of agrarian reform.
That's correct. And the reason that I believe
thieves until they wage a revolution and win. If
that's
they
right.
Wage
then
a
they're called
and win. Then they're the government.
Then they're the
but
government.
If they don't, they're thieves.
That's right. And for whom the bell tolls, Judge, the cliff was populated by the former leaders of the society. So in this particular case, we have an extremely well-educated.
No, wait, I don't understand. These people who actually come on the ground and take over the land, cut down the trees and so on, are they political people? Now, there may be a political movement, but are they political or are they just... trespassers?
Well, for our purposes, they're...
I mean, are they led into... Are they escorted by political activists into the land, or...?
They carry a flag, Judge. And the reason they carry a flag is because the law says that if you carry a flag onto land, onto agricultural land that is not being used for agricultural purposes, you can essentially squat. You have squatter's rights.
That's the law of Honduras?
That's the law. And if you plant the flag, essentially you can make a camp for yourself in your neighbor's backyard if he's not using the land to grow food. In this particular case, that sort of singles out people who have land, but they have these valuable trees on them that they are very highly regulated. You can't, you know, just chop down hardwood Honduran pine and start raising corn. And a court order without teeth is really no court order at all. I mean, if one of the laws of the land is at tension and says, you know, you can march in on your neighbor's land if he's not using it to grow soybeans and corn, but makes no exception.
What is the police response? Is it your view that the police side with these agrarian radicals, or that they're just, or that they're lazy, or there aren't enough of them, or what?
No, I believe, Judge, that the law is at conflict for enforcement. It's like saying, you know, the police show up to a marijuana plantation.
No, that's not answering my question.
Sorry.
Are the police on the side of these agrarian radicals?
I believe that in some respect they empathize with the agrarian radicals. Certainly.
They? Is there evidence of that?
Well, certainly they're closer in stature to the agrarians.
Police don't usually sympathize with criminals.
Now, in this regard, they love the idea of a flag being planted somewhere. The national spirit.
What is the evidence that the police love the agrarian flag? I don't understand.
Well, because the agrarian flag is the Honduran flag. So other than me conjecturing that every good soldier and every good policeman...
You're saying that anyone who carries a flag can destroy property, steal property, what have you. And if the police sympathize with these people and will not intervene. Is that your argument?
Yes. I mean...
What's the evidence?
The evidence is the past history of Honduras, where this exact same type of behavior had occurred. And I submitted evidence to show both the immigration judge and the Board of Appeals, the Board of Immigration Appeals, that this is precisely the type of case where, you know, people who own land and are absent landlords, or in this case are very much integrated with the land, have these invaders come on board that are pretty much sanctioned by a particular law in the Honduran cabal of laws. Mm-hmm. So if there's no more questions, Judge, I'd like to reserve a minute.
Fine. So we'll hear from Ms. Antun.
Hello, I'm Monica Antun for the Attorney General. There's no evidence in this record that compels the conclusion that the Honduran government did not side with the petitioners and sided, in fact, with the invaders, nor is there any compelling evidence that the invaders were acting on behalf of some larger movement, but were acting primarily out of their own self-interest and using the land for their own self-interest. And for those reasons, the board's determinations were both supported by substantial evidence. Nor is there any evidence in the record of the Honduran law that connotes that the planting of the flag permits people to take over private property. And additionally, the police did eject the invaders from the private property twice. So for those reasons, again, the board's determination on both issues is supported by substantial evidence.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Antun.
Thank
Mr. Gutierrez, do you have anything further?
Sure, no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.